Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text number 43 to 44. Prahladasya anucharitam Mahabhagavatasya cha Bhaktiragyana Varaktisha Yatartyam chasya vai hare sarga stityapya yasyasya guna karma nuvardhanam pararesham sadhananam vyayanena vadyo mahan Paradasya, a Prahlad Maharaj, Anucharitam, characteristics, understood by reading or describing his activities, Mahabhagavatasya, of the great and exalted devotee, Cha, also, Bhakti, devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jnanam, complete knowledge of the transcendence, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Viraktis, cha, that's the easy one. And then we'll just try Viraktis. Renunciation of material existence. Cha, also. Yatartyam. Just to understand each of them perfectly. Cha, also. And. Also, and same thing. So at least we know one word in the whole. We've memorized part of the verse. Cha. Asya, of this. Vai, indeed. Hare, always in reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarga, of creation. Stiti, maintenance. Apyaya, an annihilation. Ishasya, of the Master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, of the transcendental qualities and opulences. Karma, and activities. Anuvardhanam, description within the disciple succession. Para avaresham, of different types of living entities known as demigods and demons. Sthanam, of the various planets or places to live. Kalena, in due course of time. Vatyaya, the annihilation of everything. Mahan, although very great. Purport, a translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This narration describes the characteristics of the great and exalted devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. His staunch devotional service, his perfect knowledge and his perfect detachment from material contamination. It also describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers has described the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and he has also described how the various abodes of the demigods and demons, regardless of how materially opulent are destroyed by the mirror direction of the Lord. Purport, Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with descriptions of the characteristics of various devotees with reference to the service of the Lord. This Vedic literature is called Bhagavatam because it deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotee. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, one can perfectly understand the science of Krishna, the nature of the material and spiritual worlds, and the aim of life. Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Vedic literature, as we have discussed in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, simply by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, one can understand the science of the activities of the devotees, the activities of the demons, the permanent abode and the temporary abode. Through Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is perfectly known. Paradasyanucharitam mahabhagavatasya bhaktir jnana viraktischa yatartyam chasya vaihare sargastityapa apyap yayeshasya guna karma nuvardhanam paravaresham stananam kalena vatyayo mahan. This narration describes the characteristics of the great and exalted devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, his staunch devotional service, his perfect knowledge, and his perfect detachment from material contamination. It also describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers had described the transcendental qualities of the Lord and has also described how the various abodes of the demigods and demons, regardless of how materially opulent, are destroyed by the mere direction of the Lord. Nigamat kapaltrar kalitam palam sukamukam drava samyutam pibata bhagavatam alyam mahur mahu bhuva bhavikaha. Niga kapa tarar galitam. So what does the word tarara mean?
Tree.
Tree, yes. See, we know a little Sanskrit. Nigama? Niga means the Vedic literature. Nigama kapa tarar galitam. What's that? Yeah, right. Nigama kapa tarar galitam. Palam?
Fruit.
Pibata, nigama kaputular galitam palam, shukamukad, what's that?
Is that
right? Next one is shukamukad, galam, amritam? Ananta, what's the next word?
Shukamukad, amritam.
Samyutam. What does amrita mean?
Nectar.
Immortal nectar. So, nigama kalpatarar galitam palam sukamukam amritam drava samyutam. Samyutam? Semi-soft and soluble? Is it semi-soft?
Dravya
is semi-soft and soluble. What is samyutam? Some complete, perfect. Nigama kalpatara galitam palam sukamukam dravya samyutam amritam samyutam pibata bhagavatam amalam. What's that? Rasa amalam? Aliyam. Keep on drinking this until the liberation or beyond. So, nigama kapatara galitam palam sukam mukam dravya amritam samyutam. Dravya samritam samyutam. Pibata bhagavatam rasa alayam, mahur mahu bhuva bhavikaha. O thoughtful people, that's bhavikaha, is thoughtful people. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, even up to the point of liberation and beyond. Because the Bhagavatam is nigama kalpa turargalitam phalam. It's the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literature. Nigama kalpa turargalam. Nigama kalpa turargalitam. Nigama kalpa turargalitam phalam. Sukamukam. Because it was tasted by the beak or by the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. Sukamukam dravya. Amrita samyutam, and it's completely perfect and easy to digest, semi-soluble, and easily to digest. Pibata bhagavatam rasa amala. Keep on drinking this rasa even up to the point of liberation or beyond. Mahura mahu bhava bhavukaha. Oh, thoughtful people. So, the Bhagavatam is supposed to contain everything within it, but what is this everything? Can you find out who's going to win the horse race? Next horse race? Oh, then it doesn't contain everything. It contains everything necessary for spiritual advancement. For spiritual perfection, it's not very much interested in material perfection or material, therefore, material things. Therefore, it says from the very beginning, Dharma prayojita kaitava trat paramo nirmatsaranam satam. We can't expect to find in the Srimad Bhagavatam details of material occurrences. Even in the ninth canto, it talks about the generation of kings, the succession of kings. But there's hardly anything about the kings. Now, modern history, practically speaking, is just details of wars. History of Europe means which king took over what land, and then some other king or came along and took over their land again. The history of every country, practically speaking, in Europe, the history of one conqueror coming and conquering it, and then another conqueror coming and conquering them. Even Slovenia, I'm sure, has. I saw on the wall in the parliament, they're proud of all the fights they got into, how they lost every fight, practically speaking. Every time they got an impressive ruler or king, the peasants have an uprising, they always lost. And they're proud of it. Because now they're free. They're free to do whatever the people who tell them what to do. Who's ever in charge tell them what to do. So the history that the so-called fight for freedom, it's just all it is a fight. There's no freedom, there's only fights. And yet people, the only thing they're gaining is pride. History of pride. How they've lost every war and they're proud of it. But the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with things that are necessary for us to understand, especially as it says at the end here, how this material world is temporary. The whole story of Hiranyakashipu is meant to convince us that in order to make advancement in the material world, materially speaking, you have to perform austerity, either in this lifetime, or sometimes you get your austerity back in the next lifetime. But in any case, austerity, control of the mind and the senses, following the Vedic version, is the only way to becoming powerful. The opportunity to so-called become powerful is given by Krishna. The living entity never becomes powerful in this world. He simply gets an opportunity to be in a situation where he may think himself to be powerful. But ultimately, Krishna is the supreme power, and anything we're doing is always sanctioned by him and performed by the material or the spiritual energy. So the living entity never actually becomes powerful. But he's thinking, now I'm in a position where I'm going to be in the heavenly planets and I'm going to live there for a long time. One doesn't realize one is going to live forever. Either in the heavenly planets or in hell, one is eternal. So there's no exact advantage of going to the heavenly planets and living there for a long time, because you're going to live a long time anyhow, like forever. It's a long time. You can't beat that. Doesn't matter where you go in the material world. You can't do better than forever. The difference is that in the heavenly planets, you think you're going to live for a long time, and therefore you're less in anxiety. Here, we don't know how long we're going to live. All we know is we're not going to live for a long time. No one. One moment in Brahma's life, 1 second in Brahma's life is equal to almost 100,000 of our years. Brahma's not thinking, wow, seconds are going really slowly. No, for him, they go just like our second. The difference is that he's not suffering like we are, therefore he's thinking he's enjoying. And we're suffering so much that every second seems like a million years. And therefore we think time is going slowly because we're suffering. It's like when you're in the dentist and they're drilling in your teeth, time goes very, very slowly. You think, I've been here for 10 years. Why don't they stop? I'm suffering. Can't they see I'm turning blue? And they say, well, it's only been 30 seconds. No, it can't be. It's exactly. I spent half the day drilling on my poor tooth. I don't wonder if there's anything left. So that's material existence. We're just slowly living out our torture here on the earth planet, and we're attached to it. We're thinking, what would happen if I wasn't here? We're attached to our being tortured. We're afraid of going to someplace else. I may actually not be tortured so much. Who knows? Of course, for most people, because they have no knowledge, and therefore their activities are all sinful, therefore they're better off being tortured here, because the next place they're going, they're going to get tortured a lot more. Just like it says, when the soul leaves his body, being dragged by the Yamadutas, he goes something like 220,000 yojanas, hundreds and thousands of miles, and he's being dragged through hot sands, and the dogs of hell are biting him. He's thirsty, but they won't let him stop and get anything to drink. And it feels like he's going through this for hundreds of years, being dragged through this hot sands, being bitten by the dogs of hell, not being able to eat or drink anything. And it's only a moment. It only takes a moment. So we can imagine how torturous it is if something which only takes a moment seems like thousands of years. It's so painful. And you can't die. No matter how painful it is, you don't die because you're in your subtle body. So the subtle body doesn't change. It doesn't die. You don't leave your subtle body. So no matter how much you're being tortured, it doesn't really matter. You can't die. Of course, you fall unconscious, and then the Yamadutas wake you up so they can torture you some more. But we're thinking, let this be permanent. Let this material, my present existence, be permanent. And then wherever we go, even when we're in hell, we become attached to it. We hope hell doesn't get annihilated so I can suffer here more. Because you find some happiness even in hell, watching other people being tortured, or, hey, let me go through that tree again, where they just, the tree made out of steel, where they just take off all my skin. That was pretty far out the last time. You become attached to hell. Of course, they don't allow you to stay in hell for very long, because you have to become a dog or a tiger or something. And then you have to go, then you become attached to being a tiger. I'm the king of the jungle until you meet the lion. So, this has been described here. The biggest demon possible, Hiranyakashipu, after being going through great austerity for 120 years of the demigods, inconceivably austerity, living in the bones of his body, out of the top of his head is coming a fire that's heating up the whole universe. Inconceivable. Then he gets a body so strong that even the thunderbolt of Indra couldn't even pierce it. And yet we find out he wasn't even happy. He was drinking strong liquors, and he was always angry and frustrated. So, what to speak about little selves? What have we done? What have we accomplished? What do we have in our possession that we're going to be proud of, that's going to protect us? A little nail comes along and we step on it, and we're in the emergency room, begging the doctor, please save me. What to speak of having a body being pierced by a thunderbolt and still being frustrated and anxiety, and then being ultimately killed by Krishna anyhow. So what are we trying to accomplish in the material world that's going to make any difference in our existence? What to speak of anyone else's? So many great pharaohs have come, so many great presidents and kings and emperors, and they've disappeared and no one cares about them. We can't remember who they are, nor would we care about who they were. So what about our tiny little existence? What difference is it going to make? And how much pleasure are we going to get from this body and this material and this existence? Therefore, the conclusion is, once you become like Prahlad Maharaj and become tolerant, because the material world means a place where we're actually supposed to learn tolerance and fix our minds upon Krishna. Understand how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna consciousness is. Otherwise, if we look around and we see the material world as an example, we'll simply become misdirected. Everything that's being glorified in the newspapers, that we heard about in school, everything, it's just the wrong thing. It's the wrong consciousness, the wrong attitude, the wrong activity. It's just completely wrong, for the most part, especially in Kali Yuga. Only when we hear about Krishna and his dealings with his devotees, and his devotees' dealings with the other devotees, can we get some insight about what we're supposed to be doing and the mentality, the consciousness in which we're supposed to do it. That has some value to it. If we want to become happy and liberated from our material problems. And if we don't, then the Bhagavatam makes no sense. We can go on hearing about the glories of getting, you know, different types of computers, different types of cars, different types of, you know, wine, whatever we want to study, get absorbed in for our material sense gratification. And ultimately, we can see how much happiness we can squeeze from all of that. And how many problems we're going to get into by such endeavor. Imagine you become the most expert wine taster. So what's your destination in your next lifetime? What will you become? Maybe you'll become an ant. So you can go around tasting the different types of wine or whatever else. We find ants are really addicted to sugar. They'll die for sugar, literally. If you have some syrup, they all fall into it and drown in the syrup. Probably if you could see the little ant, you'd see a big smile on his face as he was going down. So is that the kind of existence that we want? Work hard in the material world to achieve something and then wind up in the lower species of life for all our endeavor. Swimming in the Olympic pool, back and forth, trying to become the Olympic champion. You become the Olympic champion only to find yourself shortly as a fish in the ocean, swimming back and forth the ocean. Why should Krishna bother us so much, where we have to put on bathing suits and find a swimming pool? No. If you want to swim, he gives you the body just suitable for swimming. And you can do it all day long. You have the whole ocean to swim in. You don't have to be limited by a little pool. Of course, the problem is on the way someone may eat you. So that may be a problem. No matter how big a fish you are, even a whale's in the ocean, they're sometimes eaten by Timangala fish. Probably so they swallow the whales just like when the bigger fish swallows the little fish. So this narration of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu was supposed to teach us don't try to become big in the material world, because no matter how big you get, you're going to lose. And Prahlad Maharaj, he had nothing. He had the opportunity to get everything. He could get his father's kingdom. He could get material comforts, everything he wanted. But he took to Krishna consciousness instead and found so many material problems, but they help him fix his mind upon Krishna and become successful in the real sense of the term, so that even when he got all the material opulence, he wasn't disturbed by it. He wasn't intrigued or enchanted by the material opulence. He continues on with his Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So this becoming a fish by a swimmer, I think it's reasonable to assume that that particular person doesn't just want to swim all day
depends
long.
Depends who you are. If you want to become a champion swimmer, you got to swim a lot.
I mean, that's definitely true, but I think that person also, I don't know, likes to drive his car or...
Yeah, maybe he'll spend some time as a fish, and then maybe he'll become get the job of a horse pulling a cart or something.
Oh, so it's gonna be distributed through different bodies?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, everything you do, when you become a horse, when you become a pig or something, it's because you've qualified, but you've qualified for so many bodies. On the way down, you qualify for all the bodies. And anyhow, material nature will arrange it so that you get exactly what you deserve. Nothing goes unnoticed. Everything we do, even when we walk down the street, as it says in the Vedic literature, and you step on an ant, it's all being noted. You can't say, well, I didn't see the guy, he got in my way. But still, you get the karma for it. Every time we breathe, we get karma. Unless we're devotees, unless we're thinking about Krishna. Just like that story of Prashadra, who is a prince in Treta Yuga, the son of Manu. And he was in charge of protecting the cows. There was no high tech in Treta Yuga. He had a sword. And he'd stand at night, there was no flashlights or anything. He'd just stand at night guarding the cows from the animals in the forest. And then one night, a tiger came. It was a dark moon night. There was no light. And so the tiger came, the cows were mooing, and he swung his sword to protect them. And later on, when the dawn came up, he found out he had cut off the head of the cow. And he had just nipped the nose and whatever else of the tiger. So the tiger ran away. But he himself personally killed the cow. So when his spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni, came and saw that his disciple had killed a cow, he cursed him to become a shooter in his next lifetime. So Prashadra, he decided better go into the forest and meditate, become perfect. So he went into the forest, he meditated for the rest of his life, became a pure devotee, went back to Godhead and avoided the curse. So the only way to avoid the curse is to go back to Godhead. Or else we have to get the reactions for what we're doing. Of course, if we're devotees, then we'll, hopefully, if we're sincere and we're serious, then Krishna will send us into a family of devotees. But still, whatever family we take part in, there's always problems. There's no perfect family in Kali Yuga. It's not that, now I'm in a family and I don't have to, I was a devotee in my last lifetime. Now I know everything. No, you got to start all over again. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 5. No, it's 4. No, I think it's 5. No, it's 4. Got to go through the whole thing again. So, better to take this as much as possible serious, this process, and try to make some spiritual advancement so that at least we make some progress so eventually we can get out of this place, go back to the spiritual world, or at least be in spiritual consciousness. No matter what place in the material world we are. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.